So this morning we celebrate this thing called Christ the King Sunday. And the text for today is are all about kingship, right? And here's Jesus, and he's talking to Pilate. And there are two examples of what kingship is like. There is the king who is on the who is part of the empire, the Roman Empire. Pilate is the representative of Caesar himself. And there's Jesus, who's saying, my kingdom is not of this world. So there's a few things to talk about that. Because Jesus isn't saying, what we traditionally think about is that Jesus is saying, well, his kingdom is in heaven and not here on earth. That's not really what he's saying. What he's really saying is, my kingdom isn't like the kingdoms of this earth. Jesus certainly is interested in this world. But his approach to how things are to be is very, very different than the approach of the kings of the world. So it's not like, oh, let everybody get going, leave this terrible world and go up to heaven. It's let's let the kingdom of God come into this world to transform it. So there's Pilate and Jesus are talking to each other, and the first thing that happens is that I got to back up a minute there too, because the Jews, you know, this is a very problematic thing, because everybody in the story but Pilate is a Jew. So Jesus is not against Jews, right? He's simply saying that those people, those Jews, those people who are in charge in Jerusalem have handed him over, all right? And if his kingdom were of this world, his followers would be fighting so that that wouldn't happen. But there's another hint. His kingdom is not like the kingdom of this world. So, the religious leaders, they hand him over to Pilate. The first thing they want to do is accuse him of blasphemy against God, against the God of Israel. Pilate is totally uninterested in that. Couldn't care less. Like so many people, you talk theology, his eyes just glaze right over. Like, that's y'all stuff. I don't know. So, smart people that they are, they realize, wait a minute, he's not interested in this. I know what he'd be interested in. He has claimed himself to be a king. Aha! You want to get a good Roman politician worked up. Show somebody that's trying to be a king over Caesar. That'll get people's attention. So that's what they do. He claims himself to be a king, and so Pilate wants him to know, so are you a king? And Jesus says, you say that I am. And then he talks about the kind of kingship that he's talking about. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over. But that's not what's going on in this kingdom. So Pilate asks him, well, I'm not a Jew, am I? And he says, your own people have handed you over. What have you done? And I just love that question. What have you done, Jesus? Well, let's take a look. What has Jesus done? Well, the first thing that Jesus has done is he has given up all claim to being equal with God. Right? But he did not account being equal with God something to be grasped. But came as a human being. So that's the first thing Jesus has done. Let go of any claim to be equal with God. By the time he's 2 years old, Jesus has become a Palestinian refugee with a crazy king, Herod, trying to kill him, to get rid of him and of all the other people his age. Remember that story? Mm-hmm. What have you done, Jesus? Well, I've become a refugee. What have you done, Jesus? Well, Jesus has hung out with the people that we would not want to hang out with. Sinners. People that we would look at and say, that person is against the moral code that God has given us. Doggone it.
we need to say something about that. We need to condemn those people. And now we're pointing fingers at them, and just when we get up a good self-righteous indignation about it all, we realize where we're pointing at is the people that Jesus is hanging out with. We're pointing at Jesus. Because after all, didn't Jesus himself get condemned for not following the law, for not following the rules? So when we point our fingers, we point at Jesus. What have you done, Jesus? Jesus has hung out with the poor, right? And every time the kings of this world try to talk about, what do they call them? They don't call them the worthy rich, the deserving rich. That's what people call them, right? The deserving rich, who are the people that deserve to be in charge of things, right? Because they know how to make money, they know what to do, they are the deserving rich. And I'm pretty sure a lot of us in here want to be a part of that, don't we? Really? Don't we want to be a part of the deserving rich? We want to have what is offered to us in this kingdom. That entails also, though, most of the time in this kingdom, the kingdom that we live around in, looking down our noses at the undeserving poor. And every time we look down at the undeserving poor, there's Jesus again. What are you doing, Jesus? What have you done? Here's something else Jesus did. He left his army of angels in heaven. What kind of king would leave his army behind? Remember, Jesus says, do you think that I cannot ask and my Father would send me 12 legions of angels? This is army talk. This is military talk. But then how would the scriptures be fulfilled? The scriptures would say that Jesus must hand himself over, give himself over, instead of fighting. This non-violent self-giving for the sake of the world. If I were he, I might have brought a few legions anyway, just in case. So there's Jesus, and he's doing all this stuff, and he's doing it to us. So at the food bank the other day, there was a whole line of people. There was lots and lots of people, and there were lots and lots of problems. The silly tablets that people use to check people in, well, they don't work when it's cold. So they're there, and with their cold fingers, instead of just taking a little snapshot, they got to type in every single name of every single person that's new. It was chaos, right? Just chaos. And I even had to enter in. I had to help because they had to do all the some Spanish stuff. Some people didn't have Spanish, so I was helping with that. But then I wandered away and went back into the back of the line where people had been sitting there for a long, long time. And one guy finally, he says to me, you know what's going on here? You know what we're dealing with here? And I said, I don't know what we're dealing with here. What are we dealing with here? He says, well, we're dealing with all those people who are only coming in this week so that they can get the Thanksgiving give out next week. Because they have to at least have shown up once in the year to get the Thanksgiving giveaway. So these people are coming in this week to get signed up so that they can have next week's giveaway. I said, I didn't think about that. Really? Is that really? I said, well, I don't know about that because I don't think there's many more people, but, you know, those machines aren't working very well. So it is taking them longer to get people in. And he says, nah, no, they're just here because these people don't need it. They just want a handout at Thanksgiving. And I said, oh, man. Well, you know, I said to him, I don't know if that's true, But that kind of way of looking at it isn't available to me. I follow Jesus, and I don't think that's the way he would look at it. And the guy goes, oh. Oh. Well, you know, you're right. That's true. That's true. And he said, well, you know what? I think maybe. Huh. I have to think about that. And in the meantime, I think maybe God's asking me to work on my impatience. I said, listen, I understand completely. I ran this food bank for a lot of years, and I got really impatient with people. And around this time of year. So I totally get where you're at. I totally get it. And you and I really, that's not really available to us, is it? And you say, nah, I guess you're right. And I think it's true. That the kingdom of God, as Jesus is presenting it to us, simply makes it unavailable for us to follow some of the things that the kings of this world want us to think. It's just not available to us. So this story of Pilate and Jesus together gives us this beautiful opportunity to see that the king of this world and how the kings of this world would treat the beloved one of God in Jesus by hanging him on a cross. And at the same time, seeing how the king of glory, the God of glory, treats those of the world. And the difference is, one is going to crucify the other, and then the other is going to raise that crucified one up as forgiveness for the world that wanted to kill him and did. The kingdom of this world is trying to get us to act in all kinds of ways. And they will propagandize us, and they will threaten, and they will actually say that they're doing it in the name of Jesus. And we must have the discernment to say, wait a minute, no, that's not available to me. Jesus is Lord, and Jesus has said things like, do not to love your enemy. Don't despise them. Love them. Pray for them. Jesus has said, I have come to be the life of the world, to give love and forgiveness to the world, not to accuse, but to forgive. And we who follow this king, this Jesus, we are called to the same thing. And even though sometimes we feel like, oh, we could not muster that up, the good news is, there's another thing Jesus has done, has poured his Spirit upon us. So that oftentimes it's simply, we're just doing it, we don't even know we're doing it. We don't even know that we are tending to the least. We do not even know that we are not judging, but rather receiving people. This is what the Spirit of God in Jesus does. And you and I, and all the followers of Jesus, are being invited into that kind of kingdom, to live in that way. Oh, what richness there is in that. It is indeed the way of life. May we continue always to discern the spirit of the kingdom of heaven in ourselves, in our neighbors, and even in those people who are trying to get us to not follow those things.
That's the real trick, isn't it? Jesus is raised from the dead for the sake of those who would rather destroy him than follow him. That's stunning. Is that not stunning? And so, we also will follow in that spirit. And we will love, and we will hold fast to that love. And we will not let the kings of this earth turn us around. Amen.
Amen.